Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus Christ. Our services are online every Sunday at 10 o'clock. You can find them on our YouTube channel. You can also find more information about us at gotothewell.church or find us on Facebook. And remember, you are loved.
How are we doing? Well, family, so excited that you are here with us this morning. So whether you are at home in your pajamas or you are in our courtyard, we are so thankful that you are here, all those serving here in the sanctuary. One of the coolest things, and it's weird to say, it's one of the things I really have appreciated about 2020, beyond the constant change every single day, every minute. I have loved and appreciated to see how the church has been expressed in people's individual lives and as a community, and the way that they have responded. And it's just been absolutely incredible. By sharing the link of the YouTube page, by helping out your neighbors, by serving here, learning something brand new that you've never done before, all these ways are expressions of worship to God to say, I don't know what to do, but I do know that it's going to be about you. And I just love that the Well has just stepped up and done that so well. So I am just seriously so thankful to be with you all today. If you have your Bibles, your note-taking devices, make sure to get them out. I know Carrie-Anne already told you to do that, but go ahead and get them out. Other thing that you want to get, if you are in the courtyard, we have goldfish. We have communion elements ready for you, which are goldfish and fruit juice. So make sure to go to the back. One of our incredible Discover team members, Welcome team members, will help you with that. If you're at home, you can go find crackers or the slice of pizza from last night, whatever you have at the end of service as we remember all that Jesus did for us on the cross. So let's grab those Bibles. Lord, your word says, even in the book that we're reading today, that blessed be the one who hears the words of this letter. And God, that is what we come to you. We don't just want to do the church thing. We want to be transformed by your word thing. And so, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you speak to our mind? Would you speak to our heart? Would you transform us? Lord, we pray against anything in our heart that's saying, no, I'm not going to listen today. No, I'm not going to let you win, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we are going to pray against that now. Lord, we want to be filled and covered by your word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So good to be with you. Seriously, I love seeing all the interaction in the chat. I get to see it here. So say hi. Even right now, just say hi to me. It'll just, you know, make me feel good. thank you, Ashley. She's like here waving. Yes. Now wave in the chat. I want to say hi to all of you. Hey, yes. Hi. Yes. So keep saying hi. If you're in the courtyard, you can even log on to your YouTube and still interact there as well while you're taking notes and all those things. So I don't know if you know this, but things are crazy. Things are crazy, right? Thank you. They're crazy. And just when you don't think can get any crazier, we're like, man, this election is going to be crazy. And with 2019, man, it's going to be crazy. And then the pandemic, you're like, oh, it's going to get crazy. And you're like, nothing can get crazier than this. And then we see the politics going on. We see the Tuesday night SmackDown that happened with the debate. And we're like, nothing can get crazier than this. Oh, my gosh. Okay, now here we are. And the fun thing about this is if you have not learned in the past 7 months that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you can trust on his word, you can trust in him, can I just tell you to wake up? Because everything in the world and your circumstances in your life are going to, they're going to go all over the place. But God continues to be our rock. And that's really the heart behind the church that we're going to read about today in Revelation. We understand, we know that we are in the last days. The moment Jesus went to heaven, ascended to heaven after he died, resurrected, came back and he ascended to heaven, it's been the last days. So this is not a response to the pandemic. This is not a response to another Bill and Ted movie. We are in the end of the world. This is just where we're at. And we've been for the past 2,000 years. And if you look at the span of history, that's really not that long. We are in the last days, and there is a message that God wants to communicate to you and I. He did not talk to a celebrity. He did not talk to the government. He talked to 7 local churches. He said, if these 7 local churches can grab a hold of this, we can change the world. And I believe they did, because now we're here in 2020 in Southern California or wherever you're watching right now, and you have been influenced by the work of these disciples and by these churches that received this word. Now, can you imagine in 2,000 years, are people going to be influenced and positively influenced by you because you listened to these words? I believe we can. And so when we come to this last age, we realize that Jesus, you know, promises us lots of things, right? Heaven, and promises relationship with the Father, and promises the Holy Spirit, promises us conspiracy theories and crazy people and like dictators and earthquakes, like all these things Jesus promised, said these are going to happen. And so we should not, as believers in Christ, as followers of Jesus, we don't respond to these things with further conspiracy, further paranoia, further fear, but we actually get to respond in courage, because we can respond with, yeah, God told me. I knew this was gonna happen. There is no surprise here. Who I am, my value, and my eternal destination has nothing to do with what's going on across the country, has nothing to do with what's going on in this county, has everything to do with Jesus on the cross. Because my salvation, my hope, everything is in him, so I'm going to respond in courage. We looked at this, the 7 churches in modern-day Turkey, the middle of the Roman Empire. We talked about the church of Ephesus last week. Though they were faithful and accurate, they had lost their love for people. And Jesus makes it pretty clear that the way that we truly love Jesus is the way that we love people. That's how it's reflected. And today we're looking at the church of Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. So if you have your Bibles, open them up. If you are part of our Shepherd's Discipleship, make sure you get your Lectio Divina journal out so you can take those notes. But we're going to take a look at this church and what Jesus has to say to them. It says, to the angel of the Lord, angel of the church in Smyrna, write this, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. This is important because he is reminding this church, hey, this is coming from the one who died. This is the one who, and he came back to life. This is the one who was the beginning of the end, who was dead and came back to life. This is coming from your resurrected Savior. This is very important because it goes on. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. Does that sound like an oxymoron to anybody else? I know you're impoverished, but you're actually really rich. Well, if you think outside physical provision, you understand emotional and spiritual provision, it makes a lot of sense. And the slander of those who say that you are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. I want to know what that website is. You know what I mean? Like, you know how we always come up like with fun websites? Like, we're the Well Church. We're the Well Foursquare Church. And our website is gotothewell.church. So I just want to know what Synagogue of Satan's website is. Don't look it up. I just realized what I was saying. oh, man. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. That's the part in your daily devotions you go, no, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to switch to a different verse, a different translation, please. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. See, behold, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Do you see why he started this message to the churches? I'm the resurrected one, the first, the last, the one who was dead, then came back to life, because you're about to be like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think if we prayed and we're speaking to God, like Jessica shared during worship this morning, says God woke her up. He's like, all right. And God wakes you up and says, don't be fearful, but you're about to suffer. This is the real stuff that we have to understand. But it does not mean that God is not in the midst of our circumstances. It does not mean that he has abandoned us. It does not mean any of those things. But even his goodness is shown. He says, behold and beware. This is coming. Let me tell you a little bit about the church of Smyrna. Kind of a modern description of them is they are the persecuted church in places today, as such as in the Middle East and in China. They're afflicted, they are hunted, they're materialistically poor, but spiritually rich. They're vibrant. Even in the midst, they have every reason to be fearful. There's a great story that one of my a mentor of mine tells in one of his books. He talks about how this woman in China, she was a Christian believer. She was sentenced to prison in order to, because of, she was went to church. And so she was in prison, and people in her church would sneak her through the prison. If you're in prison, maybe you want, I don't know, juicy fruit or drugs or something like that. She wanted small passages of scriptures that she could hide. And she began memorizing the scriptures line by line. It was slipped through her jail cell. And because she so desired the word of God. How many of us have 6 or 7 Bibles at home we've never opened? We have a Bible app on our phone that's like the least, that does not show up in your activity weekly checklist that Apple sends you, your weekly activity. So you're materialistically poor, but you're spiritually rich. See, they were in a city of a heavy Jewish population, and through decades of conflict, Jews had figured out a way to peacefully live with their foreign oppressors. Like, okay, you don't bother us, we're not going to bother you. Rome let them worship Yahweh as long as they did not create revolts. Just don't cause waves and you can do what you want, right? Let's just have a peaceful, harmonious culture here. Let's just do what you want to do. Keep your religion to yourself. Don't talk about it. Don't share it. Just do it on your own time. Then the Christians came along. They were a growing subculture within the Jewish community who claimed to have Jewish roots and that the Jewish Messiah was Jesus. And so you have a Jewish culture in that area saying, hey, we're not going to cause problems. And the Christians are like, Jesus! And they're like, shut up. Be quiet. We don't want, it's like when you're a kid and like you're hanging out with your sibling, you have like a sleepover and like you can do whatever you want as long as mom and dad don't hear you. That's exactly what's happening. It's like, quiet. And they're like, no, resurrected king. Yeah. They're like, no, Caesar's king. Just be quiet. And so what the Jews began to do is they needed to keep the Christians quiet, to discredit them, going, no, we're good. Leave us alone, Rome. They're nothing. They're nobody. They're crazy. They have nothing to do with us. And so they began spreading fake news about them, a lot of rumors about them. Because they wanted to distance themselves from that Christian group. So they began to slander Christians. And this is, they use their own words again. So that's most fake news or most rumors. It's like there's truth in there. So it sounds convincing. So for example, churches emphasize fellowship, right? And I'm going to emphasize fellowship a little later. We emphasize we need to gather together. Some of you are in the courtyard. You guys are ready to gather together. And we're just going to hang out. Well, the Jews saying, do you wonder why they gather together so much? You know, they've got to be doing something like bad. You know that they're doing something that's like inappropriate. And so they would get accused of holding orgies and encounters and sexual worship because they love to fellowship. That's only true for a young adults group. I don't know if that's true for the whole church. Hey now, but that's why you go to church. You find your wife. I found my wife when I went to church. I found Jesus first. There's an order there. Just keep that in mind. But then they also said this, is you know how Christians have communion? And what did Jesus say? You will eat of my flesh and my blood. And we understand that as believers, it's symbolic. We're not actually eating the flesh of Jesus. We're not actually drinking his blood. But this community would go, did you hear those Christians are cannibals? They eat flesh and blood. Like, I don't know if you should go to church, man. I think they might eat you. I've heard about that stuff. They eat flesh and blood and think it's Jesus himself. So what stops them from eating you? Oh, so now they're cannibals. They're immoral and they're cannibals. How about this? Did you ever wonder why they call each other brother and sister all the time? Brother in the Lord, sister in the Lord. But then they're married. Do they have incestual relationships? Are they asking people to have incestual relationships? Because Yahweh's against that, so they obviously can't be of God. Jesus can't obviously be their Messiah. Do you see how they just start twisting things? You know, that's like the ultimate Christian thing. Like if you're interested in a girl, all you have to do if you're not interested in him, just go, "Oh, you're such a brother in the Lord." And that's like the instant, like, okay, I'm not interested. Like, walk away. But it's these little things that they twist to put Christians in a bad light, that specifically the church in Smyrna. And so even though we are misrepresented, we're misunderstood, and we're disregarded, Jesus tells this church to be faithful. Be faithful. Even if you walk down the street and someone yells at you, "Cannibal!" Be faithful. This is what oftentimes that people speak of the church today, that the church hates the homosexual community. The church is segregated. The church is full of hypocrites. The church only wants your money. The church is out of touch. The church is detached from reality. The church hates science. The church is only Republican. The church takes up, you know, doesn't pay taxes because they're greedy. All these different things. In some of these cases, they're true. There are some churches that, yes, this is true. Is it true for all? No. Is it true for the church that God describes here in the Bible? Absolutely not. But these are ways that people use to discredit, because we don't want anything to go wrong. We don't want an uproar. We don't want to get too religious, right? I remember someone asked me, it was at a church camp, it was funny, when I was a senior in high school, I'd just come to know the Lord, and the camp director asked me, "You don't really believe this Jesus guy is for real, right? You're not one of those Christians." Christians. Like, I thought that we equated that. Apparently not. We don't want to be extremist. You don't want to love people too much. You have to draw a line somewhere. The church has weird music, and they just do this and they do that, and all these rumors should just discredit what God is actually doing. And so the church is actually caring. The role of the church is to care for people's mental, physical, and spiritual health all around the world, by pointing them to the gospel of Jesus. But when the culture wants to demonize, discredit the church with false information or overgeneralize it, we can see, we often get frustrated and we get tired because it seems like an uphill battle. And this is our temptation every single time. Our temptation is to respond in kind. "I know you are, but what am I?" That kind of mentality is, you're going to attack me, well, I'm going to attack you. I'm going to tell you all the terrible things you are, and I'm going to start. And what happens is, in your attacking, now you have left the key value and principle of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, as to love one another. It is very difficult to love one another when you're hating them. And so we like to respond in that. So that's what God doesn't say. "I want you to respond in kind." "Well, I'll tell you about those people, you know." No. I love it. And I titled my message, this is "Haters Gonna Hate." Haters are gonna hate. But you, as the church, you're to remain faithful. Because you have a choice. You have a choice how you and I respond to the things that are going on around us. We can respond with hate back to hate. We can respond rumor to rumor. Meme to meme. One, you got to one up the other one. You know what I mean? But when everyone else is going to choose hate, Jesus is telling the church in Smyrna, and he's telling the church today, remain faithful. Remain faithful. We cannot control what others say. We know the devil is a liar, so we cannot be surprised when the world around us is lying and hating. And just so you know, don't ever say, "Well, back in my day," or "the good old days," or "we used to have some respect." No, you didn't. You just hit it better. You're just more deceitful. Us millennials, Gen Xers, and Gen Aers, and Gen Zers, whatever we all are now, we just don't care. Here it all is. Let me post it on social media, let you know how dysfunctional I am. We as a church and as a people are in the best position to grow when we are struggling. What a powerful word that Louis shared earlier. Come on. That is when we get to grow. If you are struggling right now, this is the time that God wants to build in you. You talk to any athlete, they do not grow during competition. They grow at practice. They grow when they're running two-a-days. They're growing when they are pushing themselves on their max weight. They're growing themselves when they are tearing their muscles to pieces so that they're ready for game day. And so if you're in a struggle right now, do not check out, but check in, because God is doing something in you that he cannot do if you think you have it all figured out and that you're getting everything that you want. So we get to make a choice. That's why in James 1, James is the brother of Jesus who eventually will be thrown off of a building because of his faith in Jesus. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. To you know that testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and the steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. So if you're in here today and you are struggling, know that God is doing a work in you so that you lack nothing. That's how much he loves you. We can only control responses. Will you give in to the lies? Will you give in to the clickbait? Will you respond to the haters? Or will you be faithful to God and his mission that he has in your life? So I want you to write a couple things down, because it's important that we apply what we learn. How do we remain faithful? Number one, write this down. Knowing what you believe builds intellectual equity. Knowing what you believe builds intellectual equity. This is extremely, extremely important. One of the worst things you can do to a person, if you want to stunt a person's growth, if you ever want to encourage them not to be a critical thinker, is tell them not to ask questions. There are too many churches that say, stop asking questions, just have faith. What? But Jesus literally just asked questions all the time. Sometimes that's why we get frustrated with Jesus. Like, just tell me the answer. Ask questions. Because when you become a person who asks questions, you position yourself in the position of a student. This is, you're sitting down going, I have a question. Pick me. Why are you real? Are you real? Why'd you say this? Why'd you do this? Why is Noah acting the way he is? Why did Moses have to ask God not to kill the Israelites? Why did Jesus walk on water once and not multiple times? Would have saved a lot of money on boat rentals? I ask that myself a lot. I love this. In James 1:5, it continues, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. I think there's a lot of Christians walking around with no wisdom because they were told not to ask questions. Who gives generously all without reproach, and it will be given to him. It's easier to hold on to truth when you have a grip. One of the things I was going to do an illustration, but I didn't like it, so I'm just going to tell you about it. I have a 9-month-old, 70-pound puppy, and his favorite thing in the entire world are ice cubes. Oh, when he hears the ice cube machine, no matter what he's doing, he just beelines, whoop, refrigerator, sit. Perfect dog. Ice cube time. But the problem is sometimes I don't like grabbing the ice cube out of my cup because that's my cup. You know, I don't want to be like, anyway, so I get an ice cube, but I grabbed the ice cube the other day and I tried to squeeze it. You know what kept happening every time I squeezed the ice cube? It flies out. And it's kind of fun. And you know, I can chase Aaron around and like growing. No, I won't say that. So you squeeze an ice cube and it just keeps slipping out. You put some sort of glove on, what happens when you squeeze an ice cube, it just stays still. Because it has more grip than what my hand could provide. And so a lot of times our theology is things and ideas and circumstances slip through our hands because you don't have theological grip. You haven't put in the time and the energy to learn and know what you believe, because your theology will determine your life. If you believe God is good, it's going to change the way you perceive things. If you believe that God says people are valuable, so you believe people are valuable, that's a theology, then you're going to treat them differently. So we have to build our intellectual knowledge of what it means, what theology means. That's what we have to become students of the Bible. We have to. See, this Bible speaks truth both to our hearts and our minds. A weekly devotion is a great snack. You know, it's a good snack, but it's not steak and potatoes. It's not carne asada with ghost peppers, you know? Like, it's like a nice, okay, you know, chips and salsa sort of thing. But to really begin to learn and understand that you're not just reading one verse in the book of Mark, but you're understanding the context, you're understanding the story, you're understanding the beauty of what's going on in Mark. When you turn to Chronicles, you understand that, man, this is like, what's that show? Game of Thrones. Like, before Game of Thrones was cool, it was here in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles. Like, if you don't know that, you're going to be like, I don't want to keep reading. No, there are full stories here that teach us and train us and develop us, but you have to become students of the Bible. One of the greatest resources are available to us today. No joke. It's on YouTube. It's called the Well Forest Square Church. No, I'm just kidding. The Bible Project. Oh, I love the Bible Project. Just look at the Bible Project, any of the books of the Bible, any theme, and they have an animation with really cool narration that really helps explain and it helps you get into the process of becoming a student of his word. Because you're going to need to know truth in order to combat the different things that are going to be thrown at us. Because one of the things, if we really consider our theology, we understand that if you think death is your finish line, you're going to be in a lot of fear. And you're going to only live in a way that calculates to that point. But if your theology has informed you and is teaching you that that your death is not your finish line, then that changes the way you live, doesn't it? Oh, okay. It's like if I'm going to drive to San Diego, I'm going to pack a couple snacks, fill up with gas once. But if I'm going to drive to Maine, I hopefully fill up more than once and get more snacks, you know, and maybe a little better snacks, you know, to plan out my Starbucks stops. And so you have to change the way that you live because the destination has moved out. And that's a theological decision you have to make intellectually to understand that we are to be faithful until death because there's a crown of life waiting for us. That's what Jesus is telling this church in Smyrna. Number two is we have to deepen your relationship with Jesus builds emotional equity. Because we understand we're not just intellectual beings. We know that there are difficult things. We know that, but we feel it too. Persecution isn't just we're afraid that someone's going to chop an arm off or going to cause us to be really uncomfortable. It also has to do with the emotional toll that affects us. So this is important that we build healthy friendship with Jesus. And one of the ways we build healthy friendship with Jesus is build healthy friendship with other people. Acts 2:42 says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayers. It's one of the coolest, one of my favorite scriptures in all the world because it just lines up really easy. How do we live in relationship and pursuing relationship with Jesus and with other people? Let's look at it. Teaching, devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching is God's word. As we devote ourselves to it personally and publicly. So personally is having a devotional life. It is studying scripture. It is going on a Bible project. But it also is publicly, when you sit there in a courtyard like you're sitting right now, or you're sitting online where you're at and you have your Bible open and you're taking notes, you are practicing the apostles' teaching. I'm not calling myself an apostle. I'm not. They are. So you get to learn, you get to grow, you're building your theological knowledge. But not only does it stop there, is that we get to fellowship. Did you know friendship is important? And unfortunately, as adults, the older we get, the less friends we tend to have. We need other people. We need other people to encourage us, to challenge us, for us to encourage and challenge, to let us know that we aren't crazy. We need one another. We need fellowship. We need healthy community. We need one another. I can't tell you how many times I send a text to close friends or family, or I get texts and they just go, man, I'm just praying for you. Hey, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? Like that stuff builds up one another. We need each other. One of my favorite spiritual elements is this next one right here, is that we are to the breaking of bread. This means two things. One, it means remembering communion. We're going to do that in a little bit. But it also means eat together. Come on now. How awesome is it to know that tacos are spiritual? It's a good thing to sit down at a table and eat. To be in people's presence. And I know during this COVID stuff, it's been really difficult to do that. And I love, you see people with their, you know, tailgate parties at McDonald's. I've seen people outside in their neighborhood and their different driveways. Now, at least in Orange County, you can go into a restaurant, and it's kind of weird, but I love it. As we get to eat together, and this is the weird thing about food. When we eat together, guess what happens? You open up about life. You don't realize it. As much as you're opening your mouth, you're opening your soul to another person. And you talk more. That's why we don't go, hey, you just want to go talk? Or is it, you want to go get coffee? When you start eating with another person, you're sharing an experience, and so you're more willing to open your heart. So it's not just being in fellowship and having people around you, but it's being in vulnerable relationships where you can actually have meaningful conversation and relationship. And in that, you get to point one another to Jesus. The other thing it says here is we get to pray. The prayers refer to prayer and the prayers as worship songs. We get to pray. We get to talk to God. We get to have a conversation. We get to talk to God and with other people. And what's powerful is when we worship together, we're proclaiming his word. We're proclaiming who he is together. There's power in that. I know some of you parents, you're doing virtual learning, you're working from home, you're doing things that you never thought you would have to do all at one time, and you're going, how in the world am I supposed to do any of these things? Sometimes it's just humming. Sometimes it's just singing to yourself. Sometimes it's locking yourself in the bathroom, the holy of holies in the house, and you just listen to worship, you just read your word, or you just get on your knees and you pray. You just seek after him. But like any other relationship, it's going to be you who you have to put in the work. God is already putting the work. He's already stepped forward. He's already knocked on the door. But now it's up to you. And what happens when Jesus starts becoming a regular part of your life, your emotional health increases because you begin to have instant feedback from people. You get instant feedback from your relationships and fellowship. You get instant feedback from the person you're eating with. You get instant feedback from the one who created you. So when those difficult times do come, I can hold fast to my relationship with Jesus. And he ain't going anywhere because he's faithful. And so he's going to teach you how to be faithful. I want to invite Jessica up. And I want you to get your communion ready. And as we take this time, I want you to kind of imagine that picture of sitting and having coffee with Jesus. And I want you to imagine the conversation is going as well as the conversation that he speaks to Smyrna. And he's going to tell you this. He looks at you in the face. He looks at you in the eyes and says, your name? Because Jesus knows your name. And he's going to say, don't be fearful. But in this life, you are going to suffer. And when you're suffering, can you come to this table again? Can you be willing to come and meet me? Would you just meet with me for coffee? Would you tell me about your suffering? Would you tell me how you're struggling? Would you tell me why you're hurt? Would you tell me, would you ask me all the questions that you want to ask me? But would you come? Because at my table, all are welcome. All hurts, pains, disappointments, frustrations, they're welcome. He said, they're so welcome at the table of Jesus. He says, I knew that it was going to happen before you did. And so what I did is I offered my body. And I offered it to be broken for you. Because I know this life is going to hurt. And I want you to know that I understand. So together, would you take a moment, would you take your cracker, your bread, your whatever you have, and I want you to partake of it knowing that Jesus understands and is there for you in your brokenness. Jesus said, I didn't just take care of your physical brokenness, your emotional brokenness. And I'm not just going to let you stay in your brokenness. I actually, when they broke my body, they actually poured out my blood for you too. Because I want to do something new. I want to sanctify you, set you apart as holy, set you apart as mine. I want to put my mark on you. I want to say, this is my son, this is my daughter, because I love them. So I'm going to pour my blood upon you and adopt you into my family. So even when the brokenness is done, I'm still here. I'm still here. So would you take a moment, would you drink of the juice and be reminded that God is starting a new thing in you, that he is always with you, he is always for you, and he's there to cover you and empower you. Just right where you are in the courtyard at home, I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite you to stand. And I want you to just come with your arms out before the Lord. And just as we sang earlier today, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. I invite you to, you can sing that, you can hum it, you can just speak it over your life right now. But to recognize that he is all that he says he is, that he is the first and the last. He is the one who died and rose again. God, I thank you that you remind us that we don't have to fear in our suffering. We don't have to fear because you're with us. And that no matter what we suffer from or suffering in, you are bigger than that, and you have destroyed, you have accomplished, you have beaten, you have championed over every suffering. And though it still hurts, though we still have to go through the pain, we recognize that we don't have to stay there and we don't have to stop. We don't have to lose hope. We don't have to respond in kind. All we can do is respond in our faithfulness to you. So Lord, would you lead us? Would you direct us? Would you increase our knowledge of who you are and of your word? Would you increase our relationship with you? So no matter what we go through, we know we've got you by our side and we can walk in confidence. Thank you for that. If you're with your family, you're with a loved one, you're with your kids, you can grab their hand, you can just hold tight to them, or you can, if you're in the courtyard or even here, you can reach out to others. God, we come to you as a community. We come to you as one, saying, Jesus, you are our King. Lord, would you help us to be faithful to you? Direct our steps. Lay out our path. Though we know suffering is coming, but we're in it now. God, thank you for being with us. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him praise this morning. I want you to have a fantastic week. If you have not already joined a Connect group, you are welcome to do that. We're going to include the PDF that has the questions that are in response to this message that our Connect groups are going over. So if you are one of our out-of-state, out-of-county church members, we are so thankful for you. We want to get that to you. So whether you're going through it individually, or you can create your own Connect group wherever you're at, whether you're in Montana, you're in Oregon, you're in Ventura County, wherever you may be, and you can just get a fellowship of people around you to begin processing through the things that God is teaching you. Well, we love you. We are so thankful for you. You are loved, and we cannot wait to spend more time with you. Have a fantastic Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.